league, have linebackers who drop into coverage, run to the football, put you on the ground, and that's plays over. Speed. I know Telvin Smith is fast, but he gets lost. It looks like he gets lost all the time, and they need to do a better job at linebacker. And secondary play like right. I still think two strong safeties is a problem, and that's what they have. They have two strong safeties. They have Cyprian and Guy, and they're two strong safeties, and they get lost in coverage.
J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. It's Jaguars Monday. Starts right now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the roof.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
This is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Phone lines open. We'll take calls a little later. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Jags fall 44-17 to the Colts. Reaction from these two about the Blake Bortles era now underway. The Jaguars defense, can they bounce back somehow? And what the heck's going on that side of the ball? We'll look around the National Football League, too. Big day in Baltimore today. We'll talk about the owner of the Ravens having his own press conference a little bit later. Pete Prisco grinning ear to ear.
But before I get into Blake Bortles, I want to say this.
Okay.
Once again, congratulations are in order.
For what?
You're one of the finalists.
No, that's like the early stage.
It doesn't matter. No, your name is on the Hall of Fame
He's on the ballot. That's big.
And listen, the more you're on the ballot, the better off it is. And eventually,
Whatever. I have no desire to talk about it, number one, because I have no control over it. Zero.
When you see your name on there, what do you say?
Nothing. Don't even think twice about it.
Jimmy's name was on there, too.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. It brings zero emotion to me.
Well, because it should bring a lot of emotion to you, but
no.
Probably not until you actually get in.
Well, that's my point. What am I going to do about it? Well, am I going to worry about it? I have no control over the process. And it's such a subjective process.
Particularly for linemen.
Yeah, it's very subjective. And someone tell me what's the determination whether you're Hall of Fame or not.
Well, I think longevity is one of them, and that shouldn't be the case.
I don't. So if you're so, and I hate talking about this, but
I know. But I, you know, me to stir. I gotta stir it up.
Right.
So my only question
is
this: and being really good for a long time, is that better than being great for a short time?
No, it is not. Nor should it be. Which is why Gale Sayers is in. Dwight Stevenson's in. Some people say Mike Ditka, same thing, didn't play a long career. Your career.
I think a lot of really good players who played a long time get in.
I do too. And it's wrong. You should be in the Hall of Vegas.
Take me out of it.
I'm taking you out of it. It's not the Hall of Longevity, it's the Hall of Fame. And that, to me, that's. You'll get in. You'll get in eventually.
So my point is saying that. And so because of that, I don't worry about it because I would love to know what. It means I don't even know who's in that meeting in that room anymore. I mean, I know a couple of the guys, but what does it mean to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, it's like I told Tony the other day when we were walking out. I said, you know, I forgot about you holding Derek Thomas without a scratch in the game.
I don't think I had a tackle.
Yeah, you need to get those are the things that need to get out there. Your Bruce Smith tape, that tape. You need to show the Hall voters have no earthly idea about you.
So perfect example. What you just said, that last statement, that's why it brings no emotion.
Well,
because the guys, you know what brings emotion to me? Is when, for the last 2 years, when Anthony Munoz has been interviewed, when he says Tony Baselli was the greatest lineman that he saw, that brings a lot of emotion to me because that's one of my peers saying that about me.
Well, if the Giants hadn't won yesterday, I would have said a leader of your crusade would have been available next year. he needs to take Tom, and I told him he needs to take the lead on that one.
That was a big. They had to get that.
Oh
one.
Yeah.
Who do they play this week? I don't even know.
They play the Redskins Thursday night,
and they can win that one too. They can be 2-2 right back in it.
But you're not going to be a guy that campaigns for yourself.
No, he'd never do that.
I refuse to, and that's the other thing that bothers me. It shouldn't bother me, but Pete knows, and I'm not going to say any names. There's a lot of guys who've gotten in that. act like they're running for political office.
Yes.
And to me, if I have to convince you, then I don't deserve to be there.
See, that's why we always say the I in Baselli is for interrupt and not right. I. Whereas the I in Prisco is for I. I would be campaigning for myself.
I just don't believe in that. And you would not either.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't believe
you know
in
what?
That.
I'm like you. Let my work stand on its merits.
Listen, I played for 7.5 years, basically. Or 7 years. 6.5 years. Seven years last year I was on IR. 8 years in the league. Credited seasons. And the nine, I don't know how many games I played. 96, 97, 90, whatever it is. 90-plus games I played. Go watch the tape. Go watch the tape. Go watch who I played against. Go watch the teams I was on. Go if you know football, go ask of what Leon Searcy and I were asked to do in that era when a lot of the guys weren't asked to do it based on by ourselves, seven-step, deep drops, hold the ball. Go ask and just go watch. And I leave it at that.
I wouldn't campaign for myself. Just like there is a wing for the writers.
You bet. Yeah. Ask Vito Stellino.
Yeah. Vito's in, and Ed Bouchette went in this year. Who I have great. But I'm not going to campaign for myself. If they want to put me in there someday, I've been covering this league for almost 30 years now. If they want to put me in, fine. But I'm not going to stand on a soapbox and say I deserve to go in there.
And neither why.
It'd be a great honor, but it would.
Oh, listen. And people say, "What do it mean?" I said, "If I got inducted to the Hall of Fame, listen."
That's interesting. We got on this subject right away. We'll go a whole segment.
I knew I'd get it going.
We'll get to Bortles at some point.
I got
put in the College Football Hall of Fame. It was a great honor. It was probably a bigger deal for my family than me. If I got put in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, it would be a huge honor, and it would be amazing. But my guess is the same thing. It would be bigger for the people around me. Because what made me excited were the things I had control over. And what the things that bothered me were the things I had control over, like how I played. That got me emotional, both sides. I have no control over this. It'd be a huge honor, and I would enjoy it because of my kids, the coaches I played for, the teammates I had, and to be a part of that would be to be recognized in that class would be amazing. But I don't lose a bit of sleep over it. I don't think about it. And when I see my name on that list, I've had multiple people call, congratulate me, send me text messages. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I mean, whatever. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. You're on some list. Who cares? I mean, if I get in, great.
I don't know. Judging by the way the left side of the line's playing, we might need to sign you right here and get you out there again.
I'll say this. You know, it's a funny thing you say that because I've heard that. Like, if I got a dollar for every time I've heard that today, or the last few days, I could retire again. But I tell them, if you think I'm going to go make a difference on this team, then we're in real trouble. And the way the left side played, and we'll get into that tonight.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, we're going to get into all of
it. I watched the tape.
I haven't watched the tape, but I just
the last 2 weeks is very, very concerning, and the guy walking in who's going to do TV, we'll get on here in a second. My guess is he will agree with me 100%. The left side of our offensive line, wow.
We will get to that, and you're shaking your head in agreement with that. Biggest story, of course, yesterday was Blake Bortles, the debut. After halftime comes out, sparks the offense a bit, moves the ball, scores a couple of touchdowns. Throws a couple of picks. That's what you would expect, but it's finally started, and he's the starter moving forward, Pete. And, you think he should have started to begin the season anyway.
I do. I don't think they would have won the two games anyways. I just don't. But not with that defense. But again, you could feel something happen. And you guys were in the stadium, but even watching it on TV, you could feel something happen when he went in. It was like, and he does things. Yeah, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to make a lot of mistakes. That's what young quarterbacks do. But
you want him to make them this year so he doesn't make them next year.
Correct. And you know what? I don't mind. I'm one of those guys that doesn't mind the aggressive mistakes because, the all-time touchdown pass leader is Brett Favre. The all-time interception leader is Brett Favre. So you're going to make mistakes. They're going to happen. So I don't mind. I love the aggression of the kid. I like the way he plays. He keeps his head up. He's not afraid. There's nothing. You know, he climbs the pocket. He moves around. I think that all will benefit him down the road. I wasn't. Everybody kept saying, oh, it was great, it was great. It wasn't a great performance, but for a guy who didn't prepare to be the starter this week and step on the field and do what he did in the second half, pretty good.
One of the picks was atrocious.
Terrible. Terrible.
He's rolling to his right and throws back to the middle of the field.
Awful.
The first pick I'm fine with. Throw it up there. Got man-to-man coverage.
The receiver tripped.
If Allen Robinson doesn't go down, he either catches it or knocks it away. I mean, I'm fine with that. He threw two balls that were so inaccurate and missed the point, and then he threw a bunch of good ones. And so, what? I mean, that's what I expected. He stayed in the play, probably should have checked out of. Then he made two guys miss and completed a ball for 20 yards in the same play. That's what I expected. But you can't, and we've said this from day one, the thing Chad – Henny does for you is he gets you in the right situation, in the right play, and makes the right decision more times than not. The thing that Blake Bortles does is he makes off-schedule plays. If you look at this league, I would love to do a study if you could sit down with an offensive coordinator and break down about a five-game period and say how many plays worked on schedule and how many plays were off-schedule plays, meaning the back made two guys missed, broke a tackle, cut it back when he maybe wasn't designed to do it. The quarterback, you know, bought time, went to his third read, scrambled, made a play. I watched the Seattle game yesterday at the end, and Russell Wilson, which I thought was funny, the tweet that came to you and I that said he's better than Andrew Luck, which he's not, but he's very good. The plays he makes, what makes him good, most of those are off schedule. Blake Bortles will do that for you. He will go, and I used to, you know, make Mike Mazur, the old offensive line coach, you know, play above the X's and O's. We can draw it up and do that, but do something extra because that's what the good ones do. And I'm not saying he's a good one yet, but he has that ability where Chad wasn't going to give you off-schedule stuff like Blake can.
This is no disrespect to anybody who's played here, including your buddy Mark Brunell. But for the first time, in the history of this franchise, the guy who will be under center has the look, and the way he carries himself of the quarterback. Mark could run around, move around.
He made off-schedule plays.
But he was little. Right. He was short. He had a good arm. He knew how to play the game. This guy, when he walks into the huddle and you walk onto the field and the way he carries himself, there's that thing that you talked about last week. You look at it. You don't know what it is, but you know it's there.
And guys know that, and you could tell when they got on the field there was more excitement in the huddle as well.
Gus Bradley, in his day after press conference today, talked about the conversation he had with Bortles this week and how he knew it was almost time to get him in.
I think my conversation with him, especially last week, and just, you know, let's talk through this and go through it, I just really felt a sense of confidence, you know, from all the things that he learned. And I knew then at that point, okay, he's ready to go. Now it's go build the body of work on the field when that time presents itself.
Gus Bradley earlier today. We welcome in Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars All Access, coming up on Channel 4. What's up, Jeff?
What's happening, JP? Pete, Tony?
What's up? Briefly touched.
Got a new quarterback, I hear.
That's the rumor.
About darn time.
That's the rumor.
2.5 games too late.
But you know what, Pete? Let me just
better late than never.
You know what? The coach has got to make that decision when the staff is comfortable with it, because you don't want to waver. You know, you don't want to say, well, we're kind of thinking of doing this, and then the next week you're wishy-washy on to play him again. You know, I think what Gus has done is waited until he felt comfortable himself, and from what he saw on a practice field and talking to his staff, to where, okay, this is the move going forward instead of, well, this week. You know, it's going forward, and I think you got to reach a certain comfort level with that.
I understand his thinking in the whole process. I really do, and I've talked to him. I understand his thinking in it, but I still think he should have started a week one. I'm stubborn.
That's okay. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I felt the same way, but I also understand that if I were in that role, I'd want to make sure that I was very confident and secure that that was what was needed to be done at that point.
You don't want the yo-yo. You don't want, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, looking over
once
your shoulder.
Once you make it, it's no looking back, you're going forward. That's
no matter what he does the rest of this year,
he's the quarterback.
That's right.
And he should be.
Yeah. And I think that you got to wait until you know.
Right.
You know, until you feel, you know, in your heart and soul that that's going to be the right thing to do. And that's a, we're talking the biggest decision that Gus Bradley has ever made. Right?
No, I'm probably asking his wife to marry him was probably bigger than that.
I'm talking about his professional career. There's no bigger decision that he's ever made.
He's tied to that pick. They're both tied to that pick.
I know.
Yeah, they are. That's Dave and Gus are now tied to the quarterback.
Actually, the bigger pick was picking him third because then you knew this day was coming sooner or later. That was the biggest decision.
Well, I mean, that's Dave's decision.
That's Dave's decision.
This is Gus's decision.
This is Gus's decision.
Right. Yeah.
I said it before he was drafted. I liked him coming out of school a lot. When he drafted him, I gave it A+. I thought it was a great pick. A lot of people questioned the pick. When he first got on the practice field, I went, but he shows up on game and in scrimmages and you know what I mean? At the scrimmage here, he was the best guy.
Yeah.
In preseason, he was the best guy.
Every game.
In the game, he was the best guy. So there's something about that that I think will carry over. I don't know if you guys agree.
It does carry over.
It's carried over every time so far.
Yeah. You know, You can probably go out there and watch him at practice now and probably not be overly impressed, but he has the ability. And I don't know if you happen to see Jaguars.com. They've had him mic'd up in the preseason, and he was talking to guys, you know, on the team, and he's saying, look, I don't practice well, and I don't warm up well. But on game day, I mean, the guy plays.
Where's the velocity come from on game day? That's what I can't figure out.
You know
what?
I watched him real close in warm-ups yesterday. Because, you know, I had an idea that, you know, hey, look, and I didn't have any tip-off or idea that that would happen yesterday. But I watched him just because I just felt that that was a possibility. So I wanted to watch him. And I watched him in warm-ups. And you want to talk about having an outstanding warm-up. And I'm talking, you know, a Peyton Manning-type warm-up. Now, I'm not saying that it was as good as far as the accuracy and the throws. But the velocity on the ball, the intensity in which he did that, you could just tell that something was a little bit different. You know, Gus talked about him. This may happen. You could tell that he had a change in demeanor in that warm-up than the previous ones. It was a little bit more serious and a little bit more focused, and he certainly had a lot more zip on the ball in pregame warm-ups.
What are you doing on the tape tonight? I want to see that.
Yeah, what do you got?
Looking at him? Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You need to look at the left side of that offensive line.
Yeah, it's got to get better. I thought not Bortles, jeez. Like stuck in my mind.
Yep.
I thought Jokel had an okay day, but he was very soft on one particular play. Got pushed back a couple other times. Zane Beadles has got to get better. He's got to get better. He has plays where he looks good, and then he has plays that where you're like, we might need to replace him. I mean, when you have a rookie center and a rookie right guard, somebody's got to be solid. And the guy that has the most starts and got paid in free agency and who you expect to be, you know, cornerstone-type player, I mean, you expect him to be very good. And I don't know if he's been good yet. He's just been okay to below okay. You know, and that's being fair. You know, that's being fair.
He wasn't good in Denver.
We made a Pro Bowl 2 years ago, Pete. Come on.
To show you what that means. Well, by the way, don't ever use Pro Bowls when you're using your resume to try and get into that hall, okay?
The thing that I think is frustrating is that you know he's capable of better. You know, he's capable of better, and you've got a young player next to him on each side, you know, center and left tackle. Luke Jokel's still young. He's still going to learn. The one thing, though, that's very apparent, Luke Jokel is a superior athlete. He is a supreme athlete, and he's got the ability to get better. But, you know, I'm not going to hammer him because what does he have? Now 4 starts at left tackle in his career. Now, I know he's played left tackle a bunch at Texas A&M. He's got a couple starts at right tackle last year. But remember, he's, first of all, has limited starts at left tackle, and he's still coming back from an injury. Sometimes we forget that. I mean, a serious injury. So –
I got to say this because I got a text from my brother. You'll appreciate this during the game. He goes, he's Mike Pearson.
No. That's not even in the same ballpark. Not even in the same ballpark.
Is he closer to Mike Pearson than he is Tony Boselli?
Right now, he's right in the middle. But I'm going to tell you now, he is not Mike Pearson. There's no comparison.
Who you got tonight on the show?
A-Rob.
All right.
Do you know who A-Rob is? We got A-Rob and D-Rob.
Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson, not Denard Robinson.
He's going to be a good player, Allen Robinson.
He's going to be the better of the two. I've said that all along. He'll be better than Marquise Lee. He's consistent. He can jump through the roof. He's got great hands. He's got deep speed. You know, I think he just needs a – sometimes he needs to figure out where he's going exactly, but, I mean, how many practices has he had prior to playing in an NFL game? Not many.
Plus, at Penn State, all he did was go that way.
No, he did more than that at Penn State now.
Not as much.
No, he did more than that at Penn State.
Even
anyway,
he says it.
Enjoyed it, boys.
Tonight at 7 on Channel 4, Sam Kavaris, Jeff Lagerman, and Allen Robinson.
Sam Kavaris, baby.
Jaguars.
Upstairs.
All
right?
Access.
Yeah, we do it up in the, what is it, the Bud Light?
Yeah.
Bud Party. Zone.
Bud Zone or Bud Light, Bud Light Party Zone.
Oh, Party Zone, sorry.
Come on, let's get the sponsorship.
I got a 9 million Party Zones around here now, you know.
A lot of partying going on.
Well done, Jeff. Thanks. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. 355-6351. When we come back, we'll try to figure out the defense. Might take 2 hours. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Remember, Helmets and Heels Radio tomorrow night. Jessica Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will be talking Jags and the NFL from their unique and strictly feminine perspective. And I saw a tweet today. They'll be live at Black Sheep in Riverside tomorrow night. 7 o'clock on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli on the Hall of Fame ballot, and Pete Prisco with us as we move along here. You know, I guess we go a couple of different ways here. We've touched on this offensive line. We want to stay on this or go defense? Because the defense was
quite you can go all around the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
Well, yeah. Let's just talk offensive line.
Let's stay on it. We're here. So, offensive line. You've said before the left side did not play well again, but the right side was okay yesterday. Tony, explain this.
Watching the tape, I think the right side played better than the left side. And that's not what you expect. I mean, you got a number 2 overall pick, who I love and think has a ton of upside and a ton of potential, and I believe he's going to be a very good player. And I actually thought he played well week 1. And the last 2 weeks have not been up to his standard. Standard of an average player, yeah. But not up to the standard of the ability and the talent that Luke Joeckel has and what he can do.
Is it a concern moving forward with him?
It's always a concern. I mean, I was concerned anytime I played a bad game. I mean,
one bad game is one thing. Two bad games starts to become a pattern.
I'm not panicked because he has talent. I think if you ask Luke, he'd say, "Listen, I need to play better," because I mean, he has high standards, and I know that he wants to be really good, and he has the ability to be really good, and he needs to focus. And as a player, the one thing you can't do is you can't worry about being the second overall pick in this stuff, because then you start getting distracted and you start pressing. But he just needs to continue to get better. The left guard is struggling.
Any chance? I mean, you couldn't sit him down. Who are you sitting him down
for? No, he's playing. I mean, he's got to figure it out. I mean, I think we're not firm enough in pass on that side. Too many missed one-on-one reach blocks by the left guard. I thought one thing I did think Luke did a better job is run blocking.
Because
Sunday,
against Washington, he was bad at run
blocking. Yeah, I thought he ran blocked much better. He did a good job.
Mm-hmm. The center start.
Yeah, he had some plays that, you know, I'm sure he'd like back. But overall, man, you can see if that guy, he needs to get through this year and continue to get better. Boy, in an off season in the weight room
where he can get some more strength.
He is really athletic, man. He moves well. He gets to the next level. He's, you know, I thought he did a pretty good job. He got, you know, some one-on-one things that he'd like to clean up. I think Linder's going to be a very good job. Good player. He was firm. It wasn't perfect. It's never perfect, but he was firm. He does a nice job. And I thought Sam Young played well for the most part. He had a couple that, you know, gets on the edge a little bit and maybe gave up a little pressure, maybe a hit there on that at certain situations. But and then the tight end.
I don't think they could have blocked me yesterday.
It was a struggle.
Shuler just kept getting blown up.
And then the Marcel Jensen.
Jensen, too.
I'm not sure we want to, in the game plan, have our tight ends block. Let me put it this way.
Okay.
Mercedes Lewis, you could one-on-one block a defensive end and pass and slide your line and max protect it. You can't do that.
No.
You can't do that.
Well, Mercedes is like an extra tackle.
Take that out of the game.
That's what he is.
Yeah, but a lot of tight ends, you got to just get in their way. And just slow him down. Take that out of the game plan. Yeah, that needs to be out of the game
plan. It was bad.
And so, listen, it was – in the run game, it was actually better. But we got to be firmer. I mean, if they're rushing four, we got to pick up four. And we got to give the quarterback time to move around and be comfortable in the pocket. And we can't allow the front of that pocket to collapse into the quarterback's lap.
Can't have a flea flicker with the guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. That cannot happen.
Oh, the flea flicker. Let's go to the phone line. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Cliff on the west side talking offensive line. What's up, Cliff?
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to say, Tony, man, I enjoyed that commentary last week when you told us the stories about your pregame ritual, man. That was great stuff, man. Kind of got the high school juices flowing in me. But listen, man, you kind of answered it in your piece just a minute ago, but I was just kind of wondering, is the problem with the offensive line, is it schematic or physical? And from what you just said, it sounds like it's kind of physical.
Well, listen.
Thanks for the call.
I mean, I understand what they're doing scheme-wise, and they're sound schemes. I mean, they're not doing anything that – I mean, there's only so many ways you can block guys scheme-wise. I mean, let me put it this way. Last week – they're both trying to run the same scheme. Outside stretch and inside zone. The Redskins are executed a little bit better than we did. You're pass blocking the same guys and you're doing the same things, you know, some nuances within it. And I say it all the time. At the end of the day, football is the greatest team sport, but it comes down to winning one-on-one. Your left tackle has to be able to block the defensive end and win. Your left guard has to block the defensive tackle and win. Your center, I mean, you're gonna be able to combo and have a double team somewhere.
There's gonna be most times.
But you got to be able to win one on one. And listen, watching the Colts, they won a lot one on one because Andrew Luck had all day, a bunch back there to pick apart the secondary, and then there was guys running free wide open. We'll talk about defense in a little bit. And so that's why you had success. Is it always going to be pretty? Are you going to have plays where you get on an edge and the quarterback's got to help you out? Sure. Are there sacks going to happen? Sure. But you got to win. You got to be able to – when the offensive coordinator calls the play, he can't slide everyone everywhere and double-team everyone. He has to have – as Jed Fish is sitting there in his mind of thinking what the defensive front's going to be, and he's calling the pass protection, he has to have confidence that somebody can win one-on-one and be on an island. And I go back to
I bought that out for you the other day.
And I come back when we were, you know, back when I played. I mean, our offensive scheme basically was Leon and Tony, you are going to be one on one. You're one on one, and we'll slide inside and figure it out from there. And so, as a coordinator, you can only get so many double teams and help so many guys. Sooner or later, somebody's got to win. And that's what it comes down to. And right now,
they're not.
Not enough. At times, but not enough.
Yeah, it's bad. But again, that's why the quarterback needs to play. As much as people keep saying it's the other way, a guy who can move around a little bit
helps your offensive line.
Helps the offensive line, not hurts it. So I think it's the right decision.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Hey, Jags fans, do you want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video boards? Use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive. Be a part of the game experience at Everbank Field. The Social Drive brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. When we return, we will finally talk defense. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars. Jeff Lagerman on there today. It is posted, and you can go check that out. The recap of yesterday's Jags lost to the Indianapolis Colts. Gus Bradley's full press conference there today as well. Locker room sound and all that.
All of it.
On Jaguars.com.
And John Osher.
And Johnny O is the senior writer. And he had two stories, one from Gus, one from the locker room today.
What else did Gus say? I wasn't here for the press. Any big news? Anything groundbreaking?
Nothing huge.
Marquise Lee out again.
Yeah, Lee's out.
Yeah, I knew that already.
Yeah. He's out this week. What's going to happen with this? Are they ever going to get all the receivers on the field at one time?
Yeah,
eventually. Doesn't matter this year. It all matters about next year.
Oh, listen to this guy.
I'd like to get Marquise out there because he needs to get the mental aspect of it.
Yeah,
but they need to play together.
Which I think he will. I mean, Jeff thinks Allen Robinson will be better than Marquise, and he might be. I think they're both going
to
be really good.
Is the want to a concern with Marquise?
I don't think it's a want to. I think he's a young guy. Remember, he's only a third. I mean, 3-year player. He didn't redshirt. Young guy who at SC could just count on his physical ability just to dominate. And I think the mental aspect of it, he is trying to figure out. And so I don't think it allows him to play as fast or as confident as he needs to be. The reason I say that, I remember, and Jeff and I have talked about this, I remember watching him in one-on-ones during training camp. He was the best one out there. So when he knew what he was supposed to do and just let his talent and his ability just come out and play fast, he was dominant. He's not doing that right now. I talked to him and I said, listen, you want to be a pro. It's the mental aspect. There are so many guys who come in this league that have immense physical talent, but the ones who play a long time are good players, and then the ones who become great. The great players have two things. They have the physical ability and they have the mental ability. And a lot of times in the great players, the mental trumps the physical. And you can – we talked about Deion Sanders
a couple weeks ago.
Hold on. Think about this. We talked about Deion Sanders a while back. When I say trump, it's just they're both high or right. Equal or whatever it is.
But I mean, I could have the want to of all want no, to. And I'm not going to let him at left tackle you.
No, I'm saying you have to have both to be great.
Yes, I agree with that.
And so Deion Sanders – would anyone argue one of the, if not the best corner, one of the top
if
three?
Not the best cover corner ever.
I mean, Deion Sanders is a smart guy and knew how to play the game and studied. And it wasn't like he just showed up and just let talent take over. Now, he had talent where he could let it take over, but he had the freedom to go play as well. And I mean, who was it? Was it you telling me the stories of LT? LT was not a dumb player.
No.
I mean, he was crazy.
And but he showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he did goofy
he knew
things.
The work.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he was.
But when he was at practice, he practiced hard. Irvin was one of the best practice players ever.
I mean, you can go down the list of the. I mean, so when I was talking. I said, if you want to be good, you got to be mentally good. If you want to have any chance to be great at your craft, you have to become a technician. Mentally, you have to have the ability to go out there and see things before they happen, slow the game down, and let your physical ability just come out.
Yeah.
And
Marquise needs to do that.
And Marquise needs it. I mean,
a lot of rookie receivers though have problems with that.
Not the first one.
They think. Yeah. They're thinking instead of reacting.
I think if you watch him play, he thinks.
Yeah.
And what he has to do, and my challenge with him would be you have next 2 weeks, last week, this week, and maybe even another week, depending on the hamstring, that you're not going to be doing much physically. If I were you, I'd be in that playbook. I'd be with Jerry Sullivan. I'd be asking guys. I'd be paying attention. I'd be sitting there. I'd be rehearsing it. I'd be watching film. I would learn this so that when I get back out there, I'm ready to go.
You know what, JP?
Yes, sir.
You know what happens when that happens, Tony? Is you don't play fast, and it makes you look like you're loafing and not running around.
And here's the thing. He'll either do that, and this goes for every rookie, or guess what? You won't play, and sooner or later you'll be gone, and they'll go find someone else.
That's right.
I mean, that's just how it works. And I think Marquise will figure it out because he is a hard worker. I mean, you talk to anyone at SC, he's a guy who was a competitor and worked hard. I think he's young, and I think it's going to take – he's got to figure out the mental aspect of it, and I hope he does. And the hard part about this group is show me where the veteran who's going to be able to been here and done it and had success can take a young guy under his wing. Everyone says, well, Cecil's a 4-year guy. But let's look at Cecil the last 6 months. Cecil's been worrying about Cecil trying to get Cecil back healthy. And so he has, and he's a young guy, only his second year in this right. offense. Yep. He's only a four-year guy, has struggled with injuries every year. So he's trying to get his stuff right so he can play. I mean, is he able to take these young guys under the wing and teach them how to prepare and how to play?
Who taught you how to prepare?
Who taught me how? The biggest lesson I had was my junior year in college was John Robinson.
No.
I'm going to lead it to that. John Robinson told me this, and it was about a veteran player. He told me what Jackie Slater did every day before practice and after practice, and how he handled it. You know what I did? Every day before practice and after practice, I did that. I was working on pass sets and becoming an expert at your craft. And so I took that. So I had I was fortunate because John Robinson was a pro coach, came from the Rams, came to SC, and then when I got here, there wasn't a real veteran, you know, left tackle or anything. But we had, you know, guys like, you know, Logman, Clyde Simmons, I mean, Dave Wydell, guys who'd been around a lot, how you prepare, how you practice. And the thing I had, and I don't know where I got this part of it, I had some good seniors when I got to SC. I was a film junkie before I ever got here. In fact, I probably watched more film in college than I did here. I mean, I used to go during school and – probably should be in class more, but I'd go to the coach's office.
With USC, you don't have to go to class.
Yeah, no, you do. I would sit there. It's not as bad as Alabama. And I would sit there.
What was that?
He always takes a shot at Alabama.
Yeah, you got it.
Hey, I went to the Harvard of the West. I know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Arizona State. Yes. Arizona State might be below Alabama.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I would sit there and watch film. And so I was a film junkie because I mean, that's how I prepared. So no one had to teach me to do that in the pros. And so – but I had a unique situation.
But you were also a self-starter.
Yeah, right? So some guys are still, but I mean, but it,
here's me. Okay, just if I walked into the locker room and I was Mark Easley or I was a rookie guard, say I was, I'd go in, I'd listen to everything my coach would say. I know there's no veterans to lead me, but I'm gonna go pick the brain of people I could, like if I went to the University of Miami. He went to St. Thomas Aquinas. There's linemen. There's people that went to those schools. Pick their brain. Find out what it's like. Find out what you need to do, how you have to operate, and then do it. Like you said, when Jackie Slater didn't show you.
No, but I found out how you did it.
Well, somebody tell them how to do it.
That's
then.
My point. Well, here's the, I mean,
you got to be a self-starter.
Well, you got to be self-starter. Yeah, but here's the other thing. I mean, I learned how to watch film at SC because I was around NFL caliber coaches. They taught me how to watch film. I learned, and I remember I got drafted by the Jaguars. And I got a playbook sent to me. Well, I got in the playbook. And I started learning the playbook. And I remember they had this thing called sub, like sub protection. Wait, I didn't even know what that meant. I called Mike Mazur, the offensive line coach. I said, I don't understand this. What is this? He laughed at me. And then said,
what did it mean, protection against sub defense?
Yeah, sub defenses. Yeah. And he had labeled the sub defender. Yeah. And I'm like, what is a sub defender? And they had all these lines drawing.
See, but that's because you played in the 50s and they never used to sub anybody. They just lined up and played 11 on 11.
Well, I didn't know what that meant. So he told me. But my point is, I knew that come training camp and come, I had to know this.
Because
I was going to be expected to go play.
Starter.
And I was the second overall pick. And I'm like, listen, I'm going to a place I am supposed to be good and start. And I want to be good and I want to start. So you go learn it. And so if Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Blake Bortles and every young player, get in the playbook. Learn it. Ask questions. Ask your coaches. Ask Jed Fish.
And take care of your body.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. Phone lines are jammed. We'll get to your calls coming up. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Overall, we just should be playing better defensively. I think there's some guys that are playing well. I think in the defensive line, you look at them, I know that there's some talk with them, some yards rushing and pressure, but when you watch the tape, some pretty good things. I see Branchers flying around. Rhett Bryant played pretty well, Sanderic Roy. I think behind that is where we need to take a look at some things.
There's head coach Gus Bradley earlier today talking about defense, Jaguars so Monday.
He didn't mention Chris Clemens. He's playing well.
You know, yeah, he wasn't in that list, actually, come to think of it.
I will agree with him about Andre Branch, who I've criticized, been critical of, not criticized, but critical. I think Andre Branch is playing well.
Andre Branch is playing better than Chris Clemens.
Yes.
Okay.
And especially in the run. Andre Branch, everyone said he couldn't play the run. He does a good job.
He might be one of those guys where the pilot light went on.
Well, he needs to still. I still think he runs into people too much sometimes.
He needs to quit celebrating sacks down 30 to nothing.
That aren't his.
Well, but down 30 to nothing. Wasn't it 30 to nothing when he got his sack?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
So there's some good. It's always some good, some bad. A lot of bad. We're getting pushed around too much.
Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll start with Melissa on the north side, wants to talk defense. What's up, Melissa?
Hi. I just have a question talking about the defense. You hear Gus Bradley and you think, finally, we're going to have a great defense. Do you think that our struggles are due to lack of experience, lack of talent, or because our offense has the inability to sustain a drive and our guys just can't get a break?
So, I think the three and outs matter in the lack of moving the ball over the long haul. But there's zero excuse in the first two drives giving up, just getting gashed. They gave up three and then they gave up seven. I mean, they scored every play, every drive of the first half. And so, you can't put all that on the offensive three and outs. But I think that does wear on you both mentally and physically
over time.
Yeah. So, that's one. And I'm not going to come act like I'm an expert in coverage, because I'm not. I understand the basics of coverage. I understand what they're trying to do. I've never seen tight ends so wide open in my entire life for three straight weeks. I have never seen wide receivers, Reggie Wayne, who can't run anymore, have 15 yards of separation on a corner route. I mean, it's not just that guys are open. They are wide open. Like, wide, wide open. Where they're not even contested.
See, but is it bust?
It was bust in the first two games.
It has to be bust.
I mean, you can't get that open without a bust, I don't think. Can you?
No. Open in the NFL is...
I mean, I'm talking wide open. And so... I think that's – it's either scheme with the coaches or it's busted assignments and not – they don't understand it or they – I mean, I think this team – defense is talented. I mean, they're – listen, I'll tell you this right now. They're more talented than the Colts on defense.
They need a free safety.
Peter, I mean, would you disagree with that?
Well, Vontae Davis is a better corner than what they have.
Okay, but tell me up front on the four guys up front you would take over this group.
Well, I think Arthur Jones didn't play yesterday.
I'm talking about the four guys they played out yesterday. Tell me who you take.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think you would take Clemens as a pass rusher, but he hadn't lived up to it.
I'm just saying, based on those linebackers, I wouldn't take – I mean, their best linebacker wasn't even out there.
Right, Freeman. Right.
Jarrell Freeman. So tell me which linebacker you take.
Right.
None. Those safeties – none.
Bad. Right.
Okay, Vontae Davis, that's one guy.
Right. Or Toller, maybe.
My point. So don't tell me we're not talented.
But that's nothing to do with talent, because that's not a talented defense either, Tony.
My point is...
You just proved that two defenses aren't talented.
My point is, they held the Philadelphia Eagles in check for 3.5 quarters.
And I bet if Jacksonville's defense played against the Jaguars' offense, it'd probably hold them in check, too.
No, I'm talking about the Colts last week against the Eagles.
The Jaguars defense held the Colts in check.
If you go watch the tape, that guy's wide open.
I know. There's a lot of busts.
And so I don't understand it. I don't know.
Gus Bradley today in his press conference talking about the play of the cornerbacks.
I think at the corner spot, we're staying on top. We're believing in our principles. But I don't see us competing for the ball. I don't see us challenging routes like we need to. And we need to take care of that.
Fair?
I think he's being kind.
That's Gus speak for calling somebody out,
by the way. Yeah, it is.
Because Gus doesn't call people.
No.
That's calling somebody.
Listen, Gus does what every head coach is. And I know fans want the opposite. I don't think it's good for a head coach to call players out in the media. Because, let me tell you what. The coach doesn't want the players calling the head coach out in the media.
Right.
And so you have an understanding. And I appreciate that. No, but none of us are coaches. And none, I mean, and so, but that's as strong a statement as Gus is going to make, is like, they need to play better. And that's what I hear when I hear him say that.
We mentioned the tight ends running all over this defense the last 3 weeks. Here's Gus Bradley on defending that position.
If you said, why are tight ends having success? Why did they yesterday? Well, I can think of three or four of them where there's flat out bust missed assignment.
Yep.
There's a couple. I thought Geno had a pretty good coverage on him. He was tight coverage. They made a great throw and catch. Credit to them. Those things are going to happen in a game. But the ones where they're running wide open, that it is an issue.
So yes, he makes a great point. Geno's on coverage on Fleener. Fleener's an athletic tight end. I mean, he can run.
Dropped the touchdown pass, too.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, holy cow. I could have caught that. But – and Geno's running with him, and he is in good coverage. It took a perfect throw along the sidelines from Andrew Luck for that ball to be completed. I have no problem with that. You're going to get beat in this league. Listen, if you are blocking a defensive end and he's one of the best in the league, if J.J. Watt, when he shows up here and you're blocking him and he beats you, tip your hat. The guy's a good player. I mean, Andrew Luck, Kobe Fleener, that's a pretty tough. But when guys are running wide A open, I mean – you got to be kidding me. That's got to stop.
Jaguars Monday continues. We might hear some more words from Tony Buscelli. We'll stay on this subject. I like it. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We will get to your calls coming up. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Here we go on Jaguars Monday, hour number two. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, and Tony Buscelli.
He ate all the snacks out of the drawer.
You've got all the cashews
out. No, he ate all the snacks out of the drawer.
Pete pulled out 10-year-old cashews that are stale.
Well, I would have got something out of the drawer over there, but you ate it all.
There wasn't much that you saw what I ate.
Yeah, what was that you were eating? It was some kind of chips, like health chips or something.
Health chips, and they were
I'd rather not eat them.
They're very good.
Call me crazy. I think there might have been a class at Alabama. You're not supposed to eat while on the air. Right?
We're not eating on the air.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. We're chewing your mouth.
Wait.
Right there on the air.
So that's what that's how the football players get through school. They take a class on not eating on the air.
That's right. I think I heard that somewhere.
Every test is, what are you supposed to do? Not eat on the air.
That's right.
A. Then the next day they come in there. Hey, you have something in your hand? Yeah, what is that? Food. What are you supposed to do? Not eat on the air. That's how you get
my son was at the Alabama game, JP.
They recruiting him?
Oh.
Nice. They are.
Alabama, Florida game.
Yeah.
Both schools recruiting him?
I don't know. I really stay out of it. But he went.
Well, your son goes to Alabama. He's a 17-year-old kid.
And he went with my wife.
And you don't know if they're recruiting him.
Oh, Alabama is, yeah. I don't know about Florida.
Okay. I stay out of it. You don't know where your 17-year-old kid is?
No, he went with my wife. I didn't go.
Hey, it's time to go back to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
Am I wrong?
Well, no, you're not wrong. You're
Joe,
not at all.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, we agree with you, Pete.
He'll do well, though, in that don't eat on the air class.
Ron in Bartram Park talking about routes. What's up, Ron?
How you doing, guys?
Great, man.
Two questions for you. Number one, and this has drove me up a wall for 5 years, why in Lord's name do the Jaguars on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11 come up with a 4-yard dump-off pass? They have absolutely no chance of getting, or very little chance of getting a first down. They've got at least, either the receivers don't know where the first down marker is, but they got to get over the darn thing.
They know where it is.
Well,
but if they're covered, where would you like to throw the ball to?
But I I'm going to take up for you on this. It's not just this team. It's a lot of teams in this league. It's infuriating to me when it's 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 10 and they throw a 3-yard pass and ask the wide receiver to go get the other 8 yards. That happens a lot. But sometimes you have no option but to check it down.
That's all you got.
But if the play is designed for a 3-yard pass for the guy.
You also got to protect longer if you want to be able to run those routes.
That's true. That's true.
So that's why.
Appreciate the call.
You hung up on him?
Yeah, I hung up on him. Sorry.
That was not my fault. That was JP's.
That was my bad. Call back. We'll get back to that other point. Let's go back to the phone.
What was the other point?
I don't know. We didn't hear him. I hung up on him by accident. Saqib on the south side talking quarterbacks. What's up?
Hey, what's up, boys?
How are you?
Hey, Tony, before, why won't your son go to my Florida State, man? You know, he can win the championship. Just
no comment.
Oh, okay, that's messed
up. He could go get a show in the cafeteria, too, from what I hear.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm not saying like that negative. I'm just saying no comment. I'm not getting into my – I hate that I even brought it up. I only brought up Alabama because JP is an Alabama alumni. I want my kid to go to USC, and that's all I'm going to say. Where he goes,
I want him to go to Arizona State if
he's
any good.
Where he goes to school. And whether he's good enough or not, that's not for me. And if he is, he'll go anywhere. So I don't care about Florida State. I don't like Florida State. I don't like Florida. I don't like Alabama. I don't like any of them. I like USC.
You have more fun at ASU, Andrew.
I like ASU. I mean, I don't like ASU. I like USC.
Yeah, more fun at ASU. I
so I don't. I mean, I have no idea, and I don't care. So ask them about the Jags.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you guys. I'm glad that Blake is starting this week. So it was a good birthday present for me for tomorrow. So that he's starting this week.
That's why they did it.
They must have found out it was your birthday.
It was supposed to be a surprise, though, Saki. Yeah. We didn't want to tell you.
They ruined your birthday.
Let me just ask you about defense. The guy on TV said there was 13 missed tackles in the first half. Can you explain how do you miss tackles? So
you overrun them, you underrun them, you put your head down, you don't think, whiff, you put arm you tackle, you don't wrap up.
You don't know your assignment, you don't get to the right angle.
That's typically how it happens.
That's all? That's all it takes to miss tackles?
I think a lot of missed tackles.
Hold on, was Saqib gone? He leave?
I think so.
Tony, I think a lot of missed tackles are not knowing your assignments and you get there late and you take bad angles, too.
Yeah, all reasons.
Carol Northside wants to talk about yesterday's game. Carol, what's up?
How you doing?
All right.
First of all, I want to say I thank God for giving us a player like Blake Bortles. He is such an outstanding kid. I love his guts and everything. He's a gutsy person, and he's very, very talented. I believe he's going to go down in history. One day is one of the greater quarterbacks in the NFL.
Wow. Carol, hold on.
Why didn't they start him in the first game?
We'll answer that. I'll let Pete answer that in a second. But you're saying he's going to go down as the greatest in the history of the game? Is that what you said?
One of the greatest.
One of the greater quarterbacks. He's very talented.
I like it. I'm with you.
After a half. Huh?
And you're thanking God for it. Shouldn't we thank Dave Caldwell instead of – I mean, I'm all for thanking God, but I think it was Dave. We got to give Dave the credit for that pick.
Yeah, but God bless us to get him.
All right, I'm with you.
I pray for this to happen.
Can you pray for some other things for us right now? Because we need to pray for –
the defense stayed on the field too long, because anytime you got a quarterback that's scared to get tackled, like Henning, he's scared to get tackled. He falls down. He can't scramble. I'm glad he's gone, and I would like for you all to give him a message for me. Boo, 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 boo.
That's a call for the ages right there.
Carol, I love it. We'll answer your question. The reason he didn't start is because Gus and Dave wanted to make sure they were ready and they were fully committed and give him more time.
Is she still there? Can we get a boo, ooh, ooh again?
Carol, you there?
It's like a woo, 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 boo, woo, woo.
And to give him more opportunity to be ready to play and have the best chance for success. That's why.
I wasn't in the stadium yesterday, but I imagine that the
Boo Birds were out.
Early, right?
Oh yeah. First three and out, right?
Huh?
First three and out.
First series.
Remember last week you talked about it, if they booed Chad when he came out in warm-ups, did they boo him?
No.
No.
I didn't hear that.
No. So that was good, right? Well, had that going for him.
Got that in a bad day. Got to hang your hat on something.
Dave on the South Side, speaking of fans, had some thoughts about fans leaving early. Dave, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you tonight?
Is Jeff Logman around?
No, he's not.
We don't like him.
He speaks the truth, I can tell you that.
What's he got?
Well, we don't speak the truth?
Yeah, are we lying all of a sudden?
Did we lie on this show?
He knows about football. He knows what's going on.
Tony
and myself, we don't know anything about football?
Yeah, you guys are good. You guys are good, too.
Okay.
What's up?
Let's do something, man, to keep these fans, they're loyal fans in Jacksonville. Let's try to keep that stadium full and let them not empty out at halftime. That's all I got to say.
A lot of folks left, you know.
If Blake Bortles hadn't gone into that game, you would have seen an empty stadium in the third quarter. So, and you know what? They'd have been justified leaving.
Listen, my theory about fans leaving.
They pay, they can leave.
If you're down 30-0, you can
go. They pay, they can leave. They can do whatever they want. They pay their money. They can boo. They can yell. They can scream, they can clap, leave. And they can leave.
Now, if they're leaving when it's a close game and it's late, I'll be critical of them. They still can do it, but I also can be critical of them because I'm in the media and I'm on the radio. But yesterday, I'm not blaming anyone for leaving with 30-0.
No. But half the time in these stadiums around the country now, like at the end of the after halftime, you look up in the crowd and you're like, where is everybody?
They're in the club.
Yeah.
And right now, they might be in the Clevelander.
Or the Bud Zone or wherever. I mean, they're already in the pool.
The terrace. There's more parties. There's a lot of stuff going on in that by the pools, too. A lot going on.
If I was, like, in my back in the day when I used to go to games as a fan, yeah. Like in Miami, we used to go to the Orange Bowl when we were fans.
Right.
There's so many places to go have a drink and have a good time here. It's unbelievable. Nowadays, you call Uber, you get a guy to drive you, you can have a blast.
That's right. They didn't have pools at the Orange Bowl, Pete?
No, but they did hit in the end zone. Don't you remember back in the day they had a pool with the dolphin in it? Way back in the day.
Wide right. Laces out.
What's that?
You don't know Laces Out? Come on, Pete. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective Laces Out when they stole the dolphin.
Right, that's right. I forgot about that.
Out of the pool?
I don't remember a lot of those old movies. They go in one ear out, the other.
You got hit in the head too much.
You did.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Stay on this defense. I mean, where do you go from here? You can't get new guys.
You know where he goes? Up. I mean, the good news is, there's nowhere to go but up.
It's the worst.
In all seriousness.
Worst defense in the league statistically right now, by far. Right, Pete? I mean, the numbers are what they are.
Here, I can go across. I'll show you the numbers. You ready?
And the frustrating thing is about it all is that I think everybody in this organization, around this organization, fans thought the defense would be holding the line, carrying the water for this franchise as the offense caught up.
That's all right, here you go. Total yards. Ready? Total yards, 32.
Okay.
23rd in yards per play. So that's a step up, right? Rushing yards per game, they are 31st, tied. 23rd in rushing yards per play. 32nd against the pass. All right? You just keep going. I mean, you go across the board. It's the number. The categories are hard to look at, but it's 32. The rest of them are 32, 26, 8.
Right, it's bad. What were we 8 in?
8 in sacks per pass play.
See, that's good.
That's a positive number.
Because of the first half in Philly.
It's a positive number, though.
Still positive. Build on the positive, JP.
I like that.
Don't be so negative.
The glass is half full over here, Tony.
But the numbers are 32nd, then you get to 25, 18, 25, 19, 15, 20.
It's not very good, Pete. 32 we get the point.
In points, which is never the number you want to be 32.
Pete, we get the point. It's bad.
It's bad.
And guess what? The San Diego Chargers are next. Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, they're pretty good, too, boys.
He's really good. He's really good.
They're pretty good everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Good defense.
Good line.
Well coached.
The line's playing pretty good on the offensive line. See, like, they've taken...
No Ryan Matthews, no Woodhead, though. That hurts him.
That hurts him. Woodhead really hurts him because in the passing game, he's so good.
But they got... Gates and Ladarius...
Green,
good players. Keenan Allen, good player.
Yeah.
Floyd had a good game yesterday.
Floyd's a good player.
Looks like he's getting down the field again.
Woodhead's done for the year.
Yes. Yeah,
ankle
surgery.
That hurts
him. That hurts
him. That does. He's a good player.
Yeah. He's a tough guy, and plus he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
So we'll see.
Hey, the last time they took the field in that stadium, they beat Seattle.
That's right.
And sure they just went across the country, beat above average Buffalo team.
And dominated that game.
Yeah. And then they're going to come back
home. Probably dominate that one, too.
Oh, whoa. I think this is a new era.
It's a new era.
Watch
out. The outcome's not going to be different.
We'll do
one more call, too.
Here's the thing that's surprising to me about the Jaguars right now, okay?
Defensively, I'm very shocked.
You thought that they would be feisty. They would. They might not win games, but you thought they'd be feisty and tough and be just able to take people's punches and hit back, and particularly on defense.
Hasn't been the case.
Nothing. None of it. Other than the first half of Philadelphia, there's been none of that.
So in your, you pick the games every year before. Did you have them 0-3 at this point?
Oh, yeah. I haven't won in 4 games before the year.
I know
that. I was crazy. Yes, 0-3 out of the gate.
Blown out?
0-4 next week, and then 0-5.
When did they get their first win, Pete? Oh, mighty one?
I think it was Tennessee or Houston or one of those. Yeah. But again, picking that and doing all that, when I looked at it before the season, I thought they'd win 4 games, but I thought they'd be feisty and tougher. And that That has to be infuriating to those guys in that.
You still think they get four?
Yeah, they'll get one against Houston. They'll get one against Tennessee. One somewhere else, and one Cleveland or something. They'll get one.
Cleveland's pretty good.
Yeah, but Hoyer's playing pretty good. I'm surprised. But you know how that is though, with a guy like Hoyer, up, maybe, but at the end, after it's all going to be even, because you know he's going to have the downs. That's just you are who you are in this league. You know that.
One last call before we break. Ken in Mandarin. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, my one thing is, and I love all you guys, and I'm a transplant down here for 14 years, and I mean, I root for two losing teams, the Browns and the Jaguars, and I had season tickets for 6 years and stuff, and I totally agree with what Briscoe's saying.
Marlon Briscoe. Remember Marlon Briscoe?
Well,
it doesn't matter what his name is.
It doesn't matter what my name is.
He's an idiot.
My question's to Tony.
Okay.
But it's Briscoe's. Prisco.
All right, Prisco. All
there
right,
you go. That's nice. There you go.
There you go, buddy. You're my man. You're
all right. All right.
I'm from Connecticut. I know how to pronunciate. But my whole point is, Tony, my whole point is you're the man, the first guy that's posted up there, and you guys laugh about what's been going on for 3 weeks on the phone.
I laugh about it?
That joke and all that, and you make a big mockery about this whole thing, and you're supposed to be...
Hold on.
You're
don't
the face
go.
Of the Jaguars.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the call.
This hurts the national media. I mean, you support the national media.
I do.
What you think about Jacksonville by laughing about the last couple
what's
of
this guy's name? What's
this,
what's this guy's name?
Ken.
Hey, Ken.
No,
don't go anywhere. What a chicken.
Well, I can honestly say that is not that is not true.
Hey, Ken, let me tell you something. You're a chicken. Call back, because that's not true. I don't know where this laughing.
It was a hit and run.
What a joke. You know what Ken is? He's a sucker punch guy. He's the guy who probably ran up
in the back of the head
and hit you in the back of the head and ran away. That's what he is. I mean, what is he talking about? Has there been anyone who's defended this organization more?
No. But when you sit across from me, I can understand where he thinks you're laughing a lot.
Oh, I laugh about this.
Right.
I mean,
but you're not laughing at
crying.
The organization. You're not
last
laughing
time I checked, this is a radio show and talking about the NFL and breaking it down and also having fun.
Look.
What a joke.
Tony, I'm going to.
Oh, my gosh.
We need Nancy from St. Augustine.
Yeah, come on, Nancy. National media.
Tell Ken to call back, Joe.
And I understand the people. I live here, so I get it. I know all the national media, and they take shots at Jacksonville. They take shots at the Jaguars, and a lot of the time, I'll sit and say, "You guys have no like." There's always a crack about the blackout. Like somebody made a crack about the blackout at my office the other day. I said, "Do you realize they haven't had a blackout in over 3 years now? They haven't had a blackout here in over 3 years. Nobody knows that.
That's right.
They've outdrawn Tampa by." You know, they were 20th in the league. Their stadium is bigger than 10 other stadiums in the league. Nobody knows that.
It's bigger than all but 10.
Right, that's what I mean.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So, but here's, even with, I'm talking about with the
yeah,
feet
I know.
Covered up.
I know.
But, so I'm one of the guys in the national media that takes up for this team a lot, in the city and being here and all that. But when the team plays poorly, it's going to come back on them.
What are you supposed to say?
It's coming back on them, and you're going to give it to them, and they deserve it, and they know that. Any coach over there knows that they've been playing poor, bad football. Dave Caldwell, a guy who picks his team and builds his team, he knows right now that they're not playing good football. They're not going to sugarcoat it. That's just the way it is. And you're not – that guy is way off base on him.
I wish I could say what I want to say about him, but I won't. Because I'm –
Are we on a delay? We might be able to.
No. I'm not going to do that. He's not going to call that. I mean, first of all, I didn't know Pete's name. That was the first embarrassment.
Briscoe.
That's the first thing.
Marlon.
And then he said, you know, I know how to pronounce it. Obviously, you don't. And number three, if you're going to make a comment, I have no problem. You can take all the shots that you want. You can disagree with me. You can call me an idiot, a moron, whatever it is. I've been called much worse, trust me. I played offensive line in the NFL. And I work with Joe Fortunato. And so I've been called much worse. But stay on the line and have some evidence to back up your opinion of what you're saying. Don't be an idiot like this guy who just calls up and says whatever he wants.
We need Nancy from St. Augustine to call again.
Yeah,
slow down.
Nancy's great. I disagreed with her. I think she's wrong. But she had constructive criticism, and she backed it up with some opinion. I mean, some facts.
We need a weekly call from her. Yeah. I miss her.
I love her. Her and Carol. I want Carol to call back, too.
She calls the postgame show.
Our fans overseas were happy that they got the thing that we signed for.
Yeah, the book. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see it? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
It was nice.
They were thrilled with my signature.
I still don't know why they had you sign it. It devalued quite a bit.
He had to ask me who it was.
There were other people signed that.
I have no idea why you did.
He signed it.
I signed it.
Yeah, that's another reason I have no idea.
I don't know. What do you want?
Because you know why? We're in the same Hall of Fame that you're in.
None. Fair enough. I had no comeback to that.
On that note, we'll take a timeout on Jaguars Monday.
Are we doing the copy facts?
We will do copy facts when we get back. The copy facts face off. This is Jaguars
on the air.
Monday on Jaguars
Radio.
I
failed Alabama.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli. Glad you're with us tonight.
Look at the phone line.
Day after.
Right up.
Yeah, we'll get to them in a little while. Phone lines are open. It is time for the Copy Facts face-off.
I'm going to try not to laugh.
Yeah, don't.
I don't want to giggle.
Don't laugh.
No fun allowed. No fun league.
The Jaguars, you're probably allowed to giggle.
Huh?
This has nothing to do with this team, so you're allowed.
I can laugh now.
No fun league. Prisco leading for the season 2-1.
There should be an asterisk for number one.
The topic tonight: Seahawks quarterbacks and certainly Russell Wilson. Seahawks won in overtime against the Broncos yesterday in the rematch of the Super Bowl. So the question is, where does Russell Wilson rank in terms of quarterbacks in the league? Is he a top 10 quarterback?
Well, let me start by saying, according to Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report, used to work with me and used to live here and work at the paper. He went there. He was at the game. And he wrote
a column. Yeah, you guys agree on a lot.
Nothing. And he went and wrote a column saying he's not a top 10 quarterback anymore. He's not a top 5. He's top 3, which is absurd when you consider how many guys are better than him. So you're asking the question, is he a top 10 quarterback?
Right.
And the answer is 100% no. And I could start by naming the Elite Four, because there's only four Elite right now. Manning, Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze. Four. Throw in Roethlisberger and Luck. Ryan, that's 7. Rivers is 8. That's 8. Definites. Okay? Make a debate all you want on these. Matt Stafford, Jay Cutler, Tony Romo, Cam Newton. Make a debate on any of those guys. There's 12 right there. If he had
and I'll say this. He's better than Roethlisberger right now.
See? We're not supposed to laugh on this show. You're making me laugh. He's better than Roethlisberger.
The last 2 years, he's been much better. He's more efficient, less mistakes, higher quarterback rating, more success on the field. Absolutely, he's better. What else do you see? You get stuck. He's better than Cutler. He's better than Stafford. Both guys throw a ton of picks. I know they have the numbers and the fantasy points and the stuff you fall in love with. All Russell Wilson does is win football games. All he does is protect the football.
I heard that about a certain other guy, left-handed guy, once.
All he does is make good decisions.
He's a leader.
All he does is lead his team down the field, and when it counts most, makes the big throws, makes plays with his feet. He is smart. He gets him in the right situations. He's a manager, but he's not just a manager. He has a big arm. He makes big-time throws, and he is top 10 right now. Mike Freeman's crazy. He's not top 5, and he's not as good as Andrew Luck. But after you get past Luck and Rivers, you could argue
so he's better than Matt Ryan?
Oh, Matt Ryan, excuse me.
He's better than he's better than Ben Roethlisberger.
Right now he is.
Oh, my God.
What?
First off, Roethlisberger can point to the scoreboard when it comes to rings.
Longer. He has 2.
We can start there.
My man has 1.
And it was only a week ago that he went to San Diego and lost to Rivers. You know, everybody said,
I already said Rivers is better. Let's say I concede Roethlisberger.
Okay.
But I'm not
which
going.
I've already got you on.
No, you haven't got me there. Right. I'm just saying, just for the sake of arguments, I'll concede it.
Okay.
That still puts him at 8 or 9. He is better than Stafford and Cutler. None of those guys win anything. They've never won anything.
If they
anything.
Were in Seattle, would those guys
no.
win? They would have won.
No.
If Tony Romo was in Seattle, they would have won a title.
Because the decisions those guys
make. He doesn't have to make any decisions.
Absolutely does.
Because his defense is so good. You know what he is? Right now, he's a Trent Dilfer of his generation.
No.
He's playing on a great defense. He's playing with a great defense and arguably one of the best of all time. Arguably one of the best of all time, and they carry him to this thing.
No,
he's got a running game, and he's got him.
Well, right now.
Let me ask you this, though.
Right now, his quarterback rating is top six.
That quarterback rating is the most misleading stat in the history
so
of the world.
So what do you base it on then, Pete?
All right, here's what I base it on.
I base it on facts. I base it on winning, on ratings, on the numbers, the decision making. What do you make it on?
Okay, based on
just tell me what you make it on.
Winning, eyes, can he play? Can he throw the ball down the field? Does he good in the pocket?
Okay, he can do all
those.
Is
he good in the pocket?
He is.
He's good in the pocket.
He buys time.
I'll show
you
tomorrow, next week when I get the tape out I watch the TV game.
Cutler does none of those things.
Cutler? What do you mean Cutler does none of those? Andy Dalton wins.
Average.
Is he better than Andy Dalton?
Yes, he is.
Okay, but you just mentioned the things that he does.
Cutler.
Does Andy Dalton win?
What about, no, let's set the colors. Cutler, he doesn't win.
What do you mean he doesn't win? He went to the championship game a couple years ago. He
throws
got hurt.
A ton of interceptions.
So did Brett Favre.
He makes a ton of bad decisions, and he doesn't in big spots, he doesn't deliver.
Look, the bottom line is this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Based on the logic of the Russell Wilson is the top 10 quarterback because he won a Super Bowl, Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson, not you, Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson are better than Dan Marino.
No, I said it on the whole body of work in his quarterback rating and his
we
numbers.
We rush people up on these things.
And what he does and
Tony,
watching
everybody's
him.
Rushed up.
Watching him the last 3 years, he's done an outstanding job.
He's great at home. And he's not so great on the road. By the way, he's averaging 215 yards passing this year per game. 215.
108 quarterback rating.
215 passing.
100 quarterback.
And how many of those barely even crossed the line of scrimmage because he's on a rollout?
He threw the ball down the field very well yesterday against Denver.
Last week, I'll give you
and when it counted the most, they marched it down the field and scored.
And he did? He bootlegged one way, threw a little dink pass, bootlegged the other way. Then he ran outside the pocket when there was no pressure.
At the end of the day.
He moved the football. I got to give credit for that.
At the end of the day, all I care about is he's better than Stafford and Cutler because it's all I got to prove to get.
Well, he's not better than Stafford or Cutler.
Yes, he is.
No, if I put Tony Boselli on a lie detector test and I said, Tony Boselli, you are the general manager of a team and you can have Matt Stafford, not for the long run, but to play a game, you can have Matt Stafford or Jay Cutler or Russell Wilson. Which one do you take?
I'm picking.
All things being equal.
I'm picking Russell Wilson because I want to win.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my
goodness. Let's end this. Not even close. Yeah. Pete Prisco is your winner tonight. He improves to 3-1.
Thursday night, UCLA, baby.
Pete Prisco, 3-1 on the season, dominating the Copy Facts face-off tonight. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we come back, more of your calls. We'll look around the National Football League as well. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Back on Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Glad you're with us tonight. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We go to Leo in Mandarin. You've been waiting for a while tonight. Leo, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, thank you, JP. I really appreciate you getting me on. How you gentlemen doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, man. I'll be real brief. I want to go back and talk about this defense real quick. I called in to talk about Blake Bortles, but y'all brought up such a good topic with the defense. Listen, the NFL, as we all know, is gearing up towards the offense. Bigger plays. Look at all the points that were scored this past weekend. Teams are going to get scored on. Your defense is going to get scored on because that's the direction of the league. We want to see points. The thing with a good defense and a good team is they're going to make stops when it matters. And that's going to happen now because we have Blake Bortles. See, what happens now is your offense can keep up with a team if it's 20-20, 28-27. Maybe your defense gets lucky, gets that turnover, gets that fumble, big break goes your way. But they can't stay on the field all day long and expect these guys to get three and out. We're not that football team, okay? But, the thing about Blake Bortles, I really appreciate them putting him in when they did. But I wish we could have seen him sooner, because this guy is the real deal. He is a man out there on the football field. I told you, I called you guys last week, and I told you guys, I said, some guys play better. Everything felt different. Everything felt better. And it frustrates me so bad when you hear back in the draft people say, well, he's for the future. He's for the future. Anything past the draft is the future. Why couldn't he start week one? Why couldn't we start seeing this guy? It's okay. I'm not going to go back to that. But what I'm going to say is you'll see things get better. The running game will improve. Pete Prisco, you say this all the time. He's so right. Your running game can open up once you start a pass game. You'll stop seeing what? You're going to stop seeing these eight-man boxes because Blake Bortles is going to come in, and they're going to respect this guy passing the football. But we're not going to get it over
Not at the beginning. You're wrong about that. Not at the beginning they won't.
No, down the road they will, though. That next
down the
year.
Road, yeah.
It's all about 2015. It's all about 2015.
You know, he says something. You know what I don't like?
What's that?
I enjoyed 5 years ago the games that were being played more than now.
Why?
Because I don't like all the rule changes. I liked it when it was more of a defensive. I mean, still points are scored, and if you're a great offense, you're going to score points. But now it is so hard to play defense. And the way they call it now, it's ticky-tack and all the contact. You can't be physical. It's such a different game. I mean, the throws you see now, every quarterback should throw 4,000 yards. The throws that you can make down the field because your receivers are protected from safeties.
Then how come Seattle won the Super Bowl last year?
No, they're very good. No, I'm saying it's harder.
But I'm saying.
They were a great defense last year, right?
And the rules have changed a little bit since then, too.
And they've changed even more since then. But they're a great defense. But they were a great defense. How many points per game did they give up?
Yeah, they were one of the great defenses of all time.
Well, no, what did they give up a game last year?
I don't remember. It wasn't. It was
closer to 20 than what the, probably 17 or somewhere around there. The great defenses before gave 13, 14.
Yeah, the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And listen.
The Ravens set the record for points allowed in the 16-game season, and the Jaguars scored 36 on them in that year.
Yep.
Think about that.
We did.
That's right.
Pretty incredible.
And maybe it's this year it's gone over the top. I think they've gone over the top with the ticky-tackness.
I think it's backed off a little bit, and I think as we get through the season, it'll back off even more. You know, remember in the preseason they said point of emphasis, it was way over the top. Then they cut it down, then they'll cut it down. By the time you get to October, Tony, I think you'll see it kind of get back to what it was. Because now they have the rules in place that they have to call them, you know. So I think like you said, and I've said this many times, you can't really tell anything about this league until October.
Oh, I agree.
Thanks. I mean, Halloween.
No
That's
clue.
When you
no
can
clue.
Tell. Yep.
You're guessing until then.
Back to the phone lines. Jeff at the Beaches wants to talk about Tony. I can't wait for this one. Jeff, what's up?
Oh, gosh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. What's up?
I didn't get to go to the game. We have family in town and this and that. But, it's Monday morning, and what does everybody do? We get together. We go to lunch. We talk about the game. Well, the two things I learned about the game was we should have our Jaguar mascot as the backup quarterback because he's got an arm. And then two, Tony was talking about he's been called a lot of names in the NFL. I don't think he's ever been called wide receiver.
Well, there you go.
What?
All right, I don't understand that.
I don't
either.
Understand that one either.
That was a dumb call.
Yeah.
It means you're big.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I have no idea what that means.
You're not fast.
No.
You're not. I don't know.
I'm dumb.
No.
I don't know. I'll just say this.
You're gonna insult him. Insult him.
You know? Take a shot, but be like. Educated if you're going to do it. That was a bad call. Joe, you let that through?
Yeah, come on, Joe.
That was awful.
You know what that was? That was the Zane Beatles call of the day. Bad call.
Wow.
Michael.
I did not say that, by the way.
It was Pete Prisco of CBSSports.com, not affiliated with Jaguars LLC.
I call him like I see him.
Michael in Fleming Island wants to talk about the fans. Michael, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say I appreciate you guys. Tony, don't let these guys
trust me.
Them.
I don't lose any sleep.
Anyway, I just want to tell you, I came from Pensacola in 95. I was 17 years old. And I've been the Jaguar fan, of course, since I got here to Jacksonville. And I don't have to watch them stupid Saints anymore, in Pensacola, because that's all they showed. But anyway, about the fans, one thing I have to say is, if you look at the national, I'm kind of a statistics kind of guy. We really have great fans. we really, like a lot of people say, oh, nobody goes to your games. Well, we have more fans than if you go to the Steelers games. I don't know if you
per
knew
game,
that.
You're right. Per game, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, per game, I mean, you don't understand. And then the last thing I need to say is, what is up with Bill Cowher every week? I know the media says what they say, but they always say the Jaguars are the worst team. What about Tampa Bay that got beat really, really bad?
Well, Bill Cowher's bitter because we used to whip him.
Wait, I want to ask
him. Yearly basis, so he's not happy.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. Did you used to be a Saints fan when you lived in Pensacola?
Heck no. I used to be a Buffalo Bills fan.
I was going to say, if you were a Saints fan, you used to put the bags on. You might want to say that.
No, actually, I should put the bags on, too, because the Bills, they went to 4 Super Bowls and couldn't win. Yeah.
Don't worry about what Bill Cowher. Great coach. Good guy. I like Bill.
Was
but
Bill
he's
Cowher taking shots at Jacksonville again?
I think so.
I heard at halftime.
Bitter that we beat him all the time. We had a winning record against them back then.
You did?
Yeah.
They were division rivals at one point, remember?
I enjoyed that division, too. That was a fun division.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Cleveland.
Then it changed.
Baltimore and Cincinnati. I mean, Baltimore and Tennessee. Then it was five teams.
Yeah, but
it was Tennessee, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
And Cleveland was in it initially.
Initially, but they became Baltimore.
Yeah.
Those Pittsburgh games are fun, man. The old rivalry, you know.
When it was in Three Rivers, it was different.
Right.
That was
awesome. It's different. It's a different environment now. Three Rivers was
a nasty place.
It was nasty.
I went to a baseball game there one time.
Terrible. I loved it, though. I loved that place. Gosh, what a terrible place to play, though.
You know, the last game I ever covered as the beat writer for the newspaper was in Pittsburgh. It was a Monday nighter, and Fred went wild.
That was Sunday nighter, wasn't it?
Sunday nighter. Fred went wild.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Still has the record for that place.
234.
He still has the record in that place. That was against the Steelers team that didn't give him any running yards.
Yeah, that was a fun offensive line to play for.
Let's finish out the calls. Greg on the west side, optimistic about four games, right? What do you got, Greg? Nope. Greg.
See you, Greg.
Greg's not as optimistic as he was 15 minutes ago.
I guess not. My bad on that. Jaguars Monday. JP Shattuck, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Around the league today, you know, the big news of the league today was Baltimore Ravens owner had his own press conference striking back at ESPN for their report, basically, on what happened with the Ray Rice situation. And, I mean, what do you think? Should they even had a press conference?
I wouldn't have, but – because you can't win anymore, no matter what you say.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you say. You can't win. Roger Goodell.
Did you see some of the comments that ex-players who were in the media, like Bruschi and...
Yeah, Bruschi wanted Roger Goodell fired.
And Schlereff said.
Yeah.
And ex-players. And it's over the top with Roger. I mean, so let's... he didn't handle it great.
No. He admitted he didn't.
He admitted it.
He said he was wrong.
What else do you want from him?
Well, they wanted him to come Friday with a program in place.
He can't.
He can't because he
the
got
union.
A union. Right.
Here's the thing.
The
this
union's
is what
got a free pass.
This is what I want to say to all these players, ex-players. Before, if you're going to kill Roger the way you did, you better kill Demora Smith and the union as well. Because, hey, I was part of the union. It's our membership that's doing it. Last time I checked, Roger didn't beat anybody. Last time I checked, Roger didn't get arrested. Did he botch it? Should he handle it better? Sure. But if you look at the track record of the commissioner, overall the game's pretty healthy, and he's dealt with arguably maybe the toughest time PR-wise the league's ever had because of concussions and litigation and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't understand that. I mean, people just want to kill him.
Well, but you got to remember, Tony, the NFL is at the top. It's at the top of the list. When you want to take down everybody wants to take down.
Why,
the kids.
Though? I don't understand that.
Well, that's just the way they are. And what is mystifying to me is how Roger Goodell takes more heat than the actual guys who committed the crime.
That's what I don't get. I'm listening to and I like Teddy Bruschi. Played against him in college, played against him in the NFL. Heck of a guy, heck of a player. But I listen to him, I'm like, man, what is your problem? You're missing the boat. You want to kill the commissioner who maybe ruled poorly but saying he should be fired and he's a bad leader and he didn't stand up, what is he supposed to say? He can't institute anything without the union signing off on it.
I agree.
What is he going to say?
I agree. I don't.
Besides, he made a mistake. The only thing he could have done maybe is say, I'll find myself. But guess what? And that's the other thing. All these players are saying, oh, he fined us. And, you know, he said this and he said this. Guess what? Welcome to the real world. Guess what? When the boss makes a mistake, he's the boss. He made a mistake.
I agree.
When you make a mistake, you get fired or you get fined.
Where are the union guys? If Roger had come and said on Monday, he said, all right, I'm putting this program in place. This is what it's going to be.
Oh, they would have killed him.
He couldn't have done it.
The union would have been, how dare you? You can't do this. You can't do that. Listen, I don't get it.
Where's their press conference, by the way?
He's not going to have one. He's hiding it. They don't have to. He's just, all the ire is on Roger in the... And I give Roger credit. Guess who's being covered completely in this thing until they decide to have a press conference today? He's covered for the owners. He's taking every bullet.
Right. Well, that's his job.
That's his job. I give him credit.
$44 million. He has $44 million reasons to take that bullet.
I've told them, the owners, if they want, I will do it for half his pay.
You said less than half.
No, I'll do it for half. If all the bullets take for 20, for $22 million.
I do it for a quarter of his pay.
$22 million, I'll be commissioner. But I don't understand. It sounds very hateful.
But the Ravens,
because
had a press
conference. Because guess who the bad guys are, the guys who are hitting people.
The Ravens had a press conference today to dispute the ESPN story. And they had the press. Bisciotti sat there and took all the questions and answered them all and was honest and everything else. And all he did was get ripped all day. Why have it? Why bother? You can't win. You can't win.
I mean,
it didn't matter what they said in that press conference.
No.
They were going to get ripped either
right.
way.
Part of me just wants to say, listen, I don't work. Roger said, I don't work for you guys. I work for 32 owners. And if they don't think I'm doing a good job, they can fire me.
But when the advertisers start pulling away, Tony, that's when
you're
going to
say, hey, listen, I did a bad job. I messed it up.
Right. He said that.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else you want to say.
People, crisis people, if you've listened to what they've said, Roger handled it the way you're supposed to handle it. He admitted he made a mistake. He said he's going to do better. And he said there's going to be programs in place to fix the mistakes he made. That's what you do.
And you know, the other thing I love is, like, what's the woman who's, like, part of the women's organization, like, demanding he's fired?
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you care? Why don't you care? Why don't you make, first of all, the biggest crime made was the prosecutors who got off.
Right.
Let him off.
Right.
That's not Roger's job.
Well, the biggest crime
the second
made
thing
was
is,
the criminals.
Well, after they put, the biggest crime was Ray Rice knocking
right.
out his wife, like,
right. criminals.
You know, Mike Tyson.
People forget that.
Second is the prosecutor not doing anything. Third, why doesn't this lady and this organization and these people use this to bring attention to domestic violence? They're spending all their energy on trying to get Roger fired. Why don't they say,
calls were up 85%. Do you see that?
Huh?
Domestic violence calls were up 85%.
Yeah, so use it as awareness. That's what I'm saying. It's great. This person should say, he made a mistake. He's admitted. Let's work together to bring more awareness. But you know all they spend time on? Is fire Roger. He's an idiot. You know, it's like, who cares? I mean, it's nonsense.
Got,
it's nonsensical. It's like,
calm
I'm
down.
So tired of it.
Calm down.
We got more phone calls. A lot of phone calls tonight.
We'll come back in a moment.
Hope they're better than the last couple we've had.
Wrap up Jaguars Monday. New system, new routes, new way. The JTA is transforming to be the kind of bus system customers enjoy riding. The Route Optimization Initiative marks the beginning of a new way of doing business at the JTA. For more information on the initiative, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. We'll wrap up Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio. Jags fans, do you want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video boards? Use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive and be a part of the game experience. The Social Drive, brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. Final segment of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick with Pete Briscoe. Tony Boselli is here.
We got more calls.
Let's get one more in. How about that, huh? Tim in St. Augustine wants to
talk. We got two here, don't we?
Don't. You know what? Just react to the call.
No, I think
okay?
we got another one coming in.
Don't, just stay in your lane, okay? Please stay in your lane.
That's part of
I know
problem.
You're on the Hall of Fame ballot, but just stay in your lane,
that's
okay?
That's part of his problem is he veers out
do
of the lane.
Do your job.
Do your job.
Do your job.
Tony.
Tony veers
I'll
out of the
do
lane.
Mine.
Well, listen, Joe has not done a good job tonight because we've got
wrong
some bad
with
calls.
You, Tony? This is Tim in St. Augustine wants to talk about Zane Beatles. What's up, Tim?
You know, this is quite a bit of pressure to ask a question. I humbly approach the stand to ask Mr. Bisticelli a question. If
yes.
I may.
Yes, oh, no, you're well.
Peril. Yes, you're, go ahead.
Come and ask.
Okay. Zane Beatles, what do you think after three games?
He is not playing up to, I think, what anyone expected at this point. Probably his own expectations, and needs to get better.
How do you get better at that, Tony?
Better technique. Just you got to do the little things. You got to listen. Offensive line's all about your craft, and you got to go back to the basics and start. Sometimes I've had times in my career and games and everything else where you got to just say, "Listen, I got to clear my mind and just go back to what I know works, and just do that. Do the little things. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to do anything fancy. Just line up, make it as base as you possibly can, and work through it."
By the way, I wanted to show Tony the angle from Chicago, how they shoot the all 22 there.
Okay.
I think I've seen it. Isn't that stuff we watch? Or is that just...
Yeah, it's real low.
It's what Perks films.
Yeah, it's real low. Yeah, but you can't... The NFL in its outdated ways will not let me access NFL Game Rewind during the telecast of a football game.
Why?
The national television.
What does it have to do with anything?
Because they want you to watch the football game.
Yeah. Right? Can you believe
that? Yes.
The game didn't even kick off until 8:30.
It doesn't matter. In today's world, I mean, especially as the younger generation comes up, I mean, they better change it because my kids...
They watch everything.
Watch like 15 things at once.
Right. Well, that's why they need to get that Adderall.
I mean, but that's my point. But I mean, they have their phone, their laptop, their computer.
I'm the same way. I got everything going at once. I got everything going. That's the generation. You're right. They're gonna have to do more about that.
Do the younger kids sit down and watch games like we do? Like my kids don't like sit down and watch any football game. Like they love the Jags, so they go to every Jag game and watch the Jags when they're away. But I can. It doesn't matter what game's on. I'm going to sit there and watch it. Like tonight, who's playing? Bears,
Jets.
See what a fan he is tonight. Yeah. Who's playing?
Well, no, Bears, so Jets. I knew Bears.
Last
night I watched the Panthers, Steelers.
Right.
And I'll watch tonight. The first half. Until I get the East Coast, man. I get so tired.
Football was a way of life for me since I was a kid. I mean, we.
Which is surprising for someone as short and as unathletic as you. That you like
unathletic.
The game.
What are you talking about?
You're one of the worst athletes.
I might
ever
go
seen.
Around you right now.
No, you're one of the worst athletes.
You know why? You just taught me what J.J. Watt does. I know what to do now. We had a little blocking exhibition in here.
You know, I saw that. I was wondering what was going on, and I looked down to do something else.
Yeah,
I didn't want to watch Tony block you.
J.J. Watt, and I asked him how he would block J.J. Watt, and he put on a clinic.
How would you block J.J. Watt, Tony?
I'm not telling.
Okay. Why, you're not coming back?
Come on.
You're not coming back.
I might share it with Luke and Austin.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell my secrets.
You know what? I'm going to go back and watch the tape and see if I notice exactly what you're talking about.
Go watch it.
I'll say this. Last week in the Texans-Raiders game, the Raiders have a left guard by the name of Gabe Jackson. He's a rookie from Mississippi. Tough kid. He stones J.J. Watt on a pass rush. And at the end of the play, throws a little punch to the head.
I like that.
And me too.
It's not against the rules. I don't condone breaking the rules.
No, but I like
inside,
it.
I would have smiled.
Nice.
It would have been good.
Who you Jack?
J.J. Watt's still what a dominant player, though.
Who you guys got tonight? Bears, Jets?
The Bears.
Not me. Not me.
You about the Bears?
This is one of those, you go to the West Coast, you put everything you have to beat the 49ers on a nationally televised game, you got to come back the following week and go to the other coast on a Monday night. It's the formula, baby.
Are the 49ers 1-2?
Yes. Called that. I called that.
That's right. That was early.
They got the brakes beat off them yesterday by a Arizona team with a backup quarterback.
By the way, speaking of getting the brakes beat off of you, did you see the fan video of the fight at that game?
No.
There was a video where there was a scrum that went down two flights of stairs in the upper deck.
In the 49ers game?
In the 49ers Arizona game.
Yeah.
There's a couple of fan videos.
Was it in Levi Stadium or Arizona?
No, it was in Arizona.
Arizona.
But when they used to play Candlestick, I would expect that, but not that. Candlestick was bad.
There were security guards getting choked and all. I mean, it was a melee. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
you think the Jets are going to win that?
Yeah, I do. And by the way, I've had a great week picking games. I was 13.
Well, I saw the tweet you sent out.
13-2.
You know it's so bad.
11-4 against the spread.
Pete is the biggest self promoter I know.
Yeah, yeah. Good, I don't deny that. What's good for me is good for me.
I know. I'm not. I didn't say anything that I know you wouldn't admit.
But I'm the same guy that next week when I go 3-11, 3-12, I'll say I did.
But he tweeted out
the pick link. That guy kills me on a regular basis.
Which makes me laugh because there's actually somebody who spends time caring what these guys pick.
Every pick. Everybody
and ranking
everybody,
that makes no
like
sense
every
to me.
Media member that picks.
Is that person like living in their parents' basement.
I know,
still,
but you saw who's number one, though.
Who's number one?
Me.
This week you were, yeah.
No, for the whole season.
Oh, for
the
whole season you are?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. When I saw what the link was, it was some guy ranking journalists picking games.
And,
like, I said, I could care less.
And
I honestly could care less about anything in this world right now than what all you idiots pick.
Well, you didn't care where your kid was on Saturday, so that doesn't...
I said I knew where he was. I said I was not going to get into
the
conversation.
By the way, must have had a good game on Friday night. Your kid rushed for 400.
Yeah, our tailback of Providence rushed for 401 and 42 carries.
Pretty good.
Nice.
Not bad.
Yeah. He's over, and
I read in the paper where your son blocked an extra point.
Yep. He has over 1,000 yards, our starting tailback, over 1,000 yards in four games.
When's the
Pro Bowl?
No. The big game against Trinity at your
place? We have a few
I'm going
few
to
weeks.
That one.
They're good.
Fat Tony show is coming up next on 1010XL. Fat Tony joins us now. What's up?
What's going on, guys? I actually heard Mark Schlereth a couple weeks ago on ESPN Radio talking about the hosts on ESPN having to do their picks, Pete. And ESPN has basically put in a mandate where they don't want their hosts directly picking on the betting line because they can't technically endorse betting. But everyone has to give a score to all their games so the degenerate gamblers know exactly where all the hosts stand on air about what they think is going to happen in these games. So he has to give a specific score for each one of those games because of the gaming line. It's so dumb.
Well, and we have to give scores and pick the games against the spread and give over-unders and everything else. They love it. I mean, that's, you know, it you saw what Adam Silver said last week, that eventually it's all going to be, he's preparing for it.
Well, listen here, at the end of the day, let's just call it what it is. Gambling is the straw that stirs the drink in a lot of cases. Yeah. I mean, a lot of money and a lot of interest.
Fantasy football.
And a lot of ratings.
How about FanDuel? Have you seen that? You know,
I've heard about that. How's that work?
You put
it's
in money.
It's a one-week fantasy site. Yeah.
So you can put. And I'm not. I mean, I've never done it before, but help me understand this. So you put money in, and you bet on your fantasy team. You pick.
You pick like eight. Like, so you have like a salary cap, and you pick your games. Right,
so like,
Tony?
If you and I would we bet against each other?
No, you play against a pool against everybody.
Yeah, you have a
bank. It's like a pool.
Yeah, you have a bank that you put into the site, like PayPal, essentially, and you can basically bet $1,000 to $10,000 a week.
$10,000
on your lineup for that week, and there have been people that have won hundreds of thousands of
and
dollars.
And guess
on
what? And you know what? There's people who are losing hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh,
on
there's
FanDuel.
No doubt.
FanDuel's not losing.
No.
No, they're not.
They're all winning.
So you really got, I mean, you got some major, if you put 10 grand on your own fantasy team, you got some issues.
Cajones.
If you own a hedge fund in in New York, if you own a hedge fund in New York City and you're making $50 million a year.
If I own a hedge fund in New York City, I'm not wasting my time betting on a fantasy football team.
We're not really it's not really betting on your team.
What are you doing? Yeah, you are.
But
it's a game of skill. That's why they can get away with it.
It's not a game of skill.
It is a game of skill. You got to know who you're picking and who you pick.
If it was a game of skill, you'd have something to do with the outcome. It is a roll the dice and guess.
It's a skill game because you got to figure out who you're going to play or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sure.
Mm. Tony, before I let you go and let you guys go, one word for each of these three guys. Let's start with Brandon Linder. Through the first three games, give me one word on what you've seen from him.
Good start.
That's two words.
Two words.
I know, but I couldn't.
So you got one word left to describe the next two guys.
I'll take good. Okay,
good start.
As opposed to start. How about Luke Jokel?
Disappointing.
No, I wouldn't say that.
This is riveting just radio right here.
Just okay right now.
Okay. Zane Beadle.
That's just okay is not just one word.
Well, I can. It's my game. I can do what
I want. You're morphing into company man right here. But go ahead.
No, just okay. He's average. Okay, how about average?
Okay, that's good.
I mean, what's the difference? Between
disappointing
that?
is more
I would say I am disappointed in Zane's play so far.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Fat Tony Show starting right now.
There you go.